say health cannot have vibes, well, Jolly's Pharmacy is proving you otherwise. With health vibes, every Wednesday morning on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Health vibes, education, information, and a bit of humor. And not forgetting, lots of vibes. Hosted by Carlton Lango, with co-hosts Jacinta Fagan Defo and Trudy Kristen. Jolly's Pharmacy is bringing health and vibes together every Wednesday, so be sure to tune in. Every Wednesday on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.
Introducing Jolly's Pharmacy, brand new website, www.jollys.dm. It's your time to jump the line. Shop now at jollys.dm and have your items delivered in the comfort of your office. No more standing in line. No need to use your lunch hour to shop. Hassle-free shopping, safe and secure. Jollys.dm features rush delivery, 1 hour. In-store pickup, regular delivery, 5 p.m. Cut-off time, 4 p.m. It's your time to jump the line. Jump the line. Jollys.dm. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.
Who say health cannot have vibes? Well, Jolly's Pharmacy is proving you otherwise. With health vibes, every Wednesday morning on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Health vibes, education, information, and a bit of humor. And not forgetting, lots of vibes. Hosted by Carlton Lango, with co-hosts Jacinta Fagan Defo and Trudy Kristen. Jolly's Pharmacy is bringing health and vibes together every Wednesday, so be sure to tune in. Every Wednesday on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.
Introducing Jolly's Pharmacy, brand new website, www.jollys.dm. It's your time to jump the line. Shop now at jollys.dm and have your items delivered in the comfort of your office. No more standing in line. No need to use your lunch hour to shop. Hassle-free shopping, safe and secure. Jollys.dm features rush delivery, 1 hour. In-store pickup, regular delivery, 5 p.m. Cut-off time, 4 p.m. It's your time to jump the line. Jolly's.dm. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.
Who say health cannot have vibes? Well, Jolly's Pharmacy is proving you otherwise. With health vibes, every Wednesday morning on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Health vibes, education, information, and a bit of humor. And not forgetting, lots of vibes. Hosted by Carlton Lango, with co-hosts Jacinta Fagan Defo and Trudy Kristen. Jolly's Pharmacy is bringing health and vibes together every Wednesday, so be sure to tune in. Every Wednesday on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare. Who say health cannot have vibes? Well, Jolly's Pharmacy is proving you otherwise. With health vibes, every Wednesday morning on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Health vibes, education, information, and a bit of humor. And not forgetting, lots of vibes. Hosted by Carlton Lango, with co-hosts Jacinta Fagan Defo and Trudy Kristen. Jolly's Pharmacy is bringing health and vibes together every Wednesday, so be sure to tune in. Every Wednesday on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.
Introducing Jolly's Pharmacy, brand new website, www.jollys.dm. It's your time to jump the line. Shop now at jollys.dm and have your items delivered in the comfort of your office. No more standing in line. No need to use your lunch hour to shop. Hassle-free shopping, safe and secure. Jollys.dm features rush delivery, 1 hour. In-store pickup, regular delivery, 5 p.m. Cut-off time, 4 p.m. It's your time to jump the line. Jump the line. www.jollys.dm. Jolly's Pharmacy,
leading the way in healthcare.
Who say health cannot have vibes? Well, Jolly's Pharmacy is proving you otherwise. With health vibes, every Wednesday morning on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Health vibes, education, information, and a bit of humor. And not forgetting lots of vibes. Hosted by Carlton Lando with co-hosts Jacinta Fagan-Defo and Trudy Kristen. Jolly's Pharmacy is bringing health and vibes together every Wednesday. So be sure to tune in. Every Wednesday on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of Health Vibes. Of course, it is another beautiful Wednesday morning, and we are here with you with the talk show that is both educational and full of vibes, Jolly's Health Vibes, on a Wednesday morning here on the big station Q95 FM. Good morning to all the listeners of Q95 FM radio, and of course our very constant listeners to Health Vibes. Good morning as always to you. This is Trudy Christian. I am here in studio going solo this morning. Carlton Lando, the chief host in charge, is not in studio this morning, but Mr. Lando, good morning to you. I know you are on another assignment and keeping busy as usual. Good morning to you, and I hope all is well. Good morning, of course, as well to all the Jolly's family, to Jacinta Fagan-Defo, our other co-host, who should have been on this morning but also had another engagement. So good morning. I know this morning and most Wednesday mornings, we have the constant listeners at home who listen to us, our retired Dominicans who are always joining us on Health Vibes. Good morning to you, our retirees. Good morning to you. Good morning to all our security guards who take the opportunity to log on and check out Health Vibes. Good morning to our security officers there at Dominica State College. I know you are always on with us on Health Vibes. Good morning to all our bus drivers, all the people who may be on a commute this morning, driving to where they have to go, and they have made the good choice to listen to Q95 Radio and to Health Vibes this morning. Good morning to you all. It is an episode this morning where we'll be getting some good information from a very important Dominican who will be joining us via the virtual platform, and I will introduce the guest after a short break. Will take in a while, but before I do so, I just want to remind everyone that the 5K run is coming up. Of course, you would have heard us speaking about this 5K run at length, and it is coming up on April 27th, the Jolly's National Wellness 5K run, and we've been promoting, Carlton has been talking about this 5K run for a while. If you have not heard about it yet, you are really, really, really in the dark. So I will help you out here. The 5K run, April 27th, and it is a run that will be done in support of two very important causes: sickle cell anemia and the Sickle Cell Cares Foundation, and diabetes through the Dominica Diabetes Association. So all the proceeds from this 5K run will go towards these two organizations, and it is simply $25 to register for the 5K run. You can do so at all Jolly's branches that you can find. You can just pop in and say that you're coming in to register for the 5K run. If you want to support Sickle Cell Anemia and the Sickle Cell Cares Foundation with your registration, you can wear burgundy when you show up for the 5K run on the 27th of April. And if you want to support Diabetes and the Dominica Diabetes Association, you can wear blue, sky blue, or if you have another shade of blue that is similar, that's fine. So burgundy and sky blue, if you want to rep for both causes, sickle cell anemia and diabetes, of course, you can do a combination color on that day. So April 27th, beginning at the Massac Kinfield, the Massac area, right next to the park there. We'll be starting there and moving on to Lindo Park, going straight down the Eolibla Highway and going all the way up to ascending Federation Drive and ending at the Lindo Park. So that will be on April 27th. The run starts at 3:30 p.m. If you can't run, you can walk, and if you can't walk, you can still show up to support. So make sure for the Jollies National Wellness 5K Run, you get yourself in order, you register, and you come out to support the two causes that we have mentioned, sickle cell anemia and diabetes. It is for a worthy cause, and the benefactors of this exercise are always so grateful, and the proceeds go towards so much good work that these organizations have to do. So take this opportunity, April 27th, the Jollies 5K National Wellness, Jollies National Wellness 5K Run. Take this opportunity to make a difference and to register, show up, support, and show your determination to lend support to people suffering with sickle cell anemia, people suffering with diabetes, of course, which is so prevalent here in Dominica. So you have your work cut out for you April 27th with the 5K run, and I hope that everyone listening this morning makes that choice to support this run on April 27th, the 5K run. So as I promised you this morning, we do have a special guest with us, and he's joining us from afar, but still close by, because he's virtual. He's not in studio with me, but he is joining us virtually. I am going to introduce him in just a minute. Let me just take a quick break, and when we come back, I will let you know who we have this morning on Health Vibes and what will be our discussion this morning. So stay tuned. I will be right back.
Say health cannot have vibes. Well, Jolly's Pharmacy is proving you otherwise. With Health Vibes, every Wednesday morning on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Health Vibes, education, information, and a bit of humor. And not forgetting lots of vibes. Hosted by Carlton Lango with co-hosts Jacinta Fagan Defo and Trudy Kristen. Jolly's Pharmacy is bringing health and vibes together every Wednesday. So be sure to tune in. Every Wednesday on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.
And we are back, and it is, of course, Health Vibes Wednesday morning, Q95 FM, and we are here to give you the vibes, the educational vibes as it relates to health, as we always do. This morning, I am joined by Dr. Swinburne Augustine, who is joining us, as I mentioned earlier, virtually, and I'm going to lend his voice this morning to our program here on Health Vibes. Dr. Augustine is an immunologist. He has worked extensively with the United States Environmental Protection Agency and has been involved in a multitude of research as it relates to a lot of immunology and other scientific research. He's a microbiologist as well. And a very interesting fact about him, and he will tell us a lot more, is that he was also a police officer. He will give us that background. I'm sure our listeners will be interested to know how the police officer ascended into the scientific realm with immunology and microbiology there. So Dr. Augustine, good morning to you, and of course welcome to Health Vibes this morning.
Thank you for inviting me, Trudy, to the show. It's a pleasure. I just came back from the, well, now if I say just, it seemed like a year ago, but for Creole Festival, just came back from home and I didn't want to leave.
Normally when people visiting home come back, that's the sentiment. That's the sentiment. They don't want to leave. Dr. Augustine, let us know a bit about, I mean, I mentioned, of course, your background, but let us know a bit about this journey from, you know, Dominica to where you ended up working with the United States EPA.
You know, I first want to say that whatever we talk about today, it's my little disclaimer that when I mention EPA, the United States Environmental Protection Agency, I'm not representing them or
yes.
saying anything on their behalf, right? So let's put that aside. To me, I think it was a miraculous journey.
Mm.
Yeah, if people don't believe in God, they don't have to. If they don't believe in faith, they really don't have to. But coming from Dalies, right, where you grow up with no electricity, no running water, no paved roads, and you have to use a Bedford truck to get to town, to the top of the immunological world, like I just showed you, in a little while, in a couple of weeks, I'll be at the reception held by the president of the American Association of Immunologists. So it's one of determination, of imagination, of creativity, but most of all, it is willing to accept help and ask for help
mm-hmm.
on your journey.
Mm.
I was speaking with your uncle Gabe a few days ago, and I mentioned something to him, and you know, he heard it in an interview I did with him near Christmas time. And I likened our life and our journey of mine to like a relay race. It just seemed to me that every time I moved to something, there was somebody there waiting for me. Somebody was handing me over to somebody else and taking me to another part of the journey. It became more apparent when you go to college and then you have to get references from your professors and mm-hmm. your jobs, you have to get that is that pattern, but it was happening before. And so I think one has to believe in something, want more, not in any illegal way. God has given us all we need to succeed in any endeavor. We just have to want it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So starting off in Dalies, man. And traversing this journey of life, that is your takeaway, and it is definitely impactful. You know, when you think of it in that way, you know, Dr. Augustine, I know you know you've done a wide variety of work, a big amount of work, you know, in the scientific arena. What is it that you are most proud of, if I can ask you that? What are you most proud of in terms of this body of work that you've accomplished thus far in this realm of science?
I think what I'm most proud of is that in the middle of, or the beginning of, one of the worst pandemics that we will ever, we ever see in our lifetimes, that I was able to answer the call for President Biden when he sent people on the vaccination trail. I volunteered. I'm one of 194 people at the EPA who got a huge national award. for the COVID-19 response. But scientifically developing that saliva test with my team that they used for COVID, that I could take a drop of your saliva and we could tell whether you were vaccinated or you actually got COVID from the type of antibodies that you would display. But that test has so many applications. I used it in Puerto Rico, on the beach in Puerto Rico, that's public, where we could see if you went swimming. And I always chose, when I designed my experiments, I designed them so that the results would be applicable to our small islands who cannot afford the money to do that kind of research.
Mm-hmm.
So by choosing some place like Puerto Rico, it looks like what you would find in any of the other islands in the Caribbean. So the results may be applicable to them, and I developed rapid immunological tests that they are non-invasive. I mean, and people will spit on you for free. Right? So if with a drop of your spit, I can tell you what you're exposed to in the air that you breathe, the water that you drink, or where you recreate, whatever your lifestyle is, then you can take measures to stop it. So that, I think, was really, really, and we were able to use that saliva test for COVID.
Mm. Okay, so you know, and the functionality of it, as you mentioned, maybe in areas that are resource deprived, there are resource deficiencies, and that of course being a test that is able to be used in circumstances such as those. So definitely very important. Important work. Dr. Augustine, you speak of the COVID pandemic. It's something I wanted to get to maybe later on in the interview, but but you spoke about it early. Of course, there were and still are a lot of naysayers about the science related to COVID-19, the pandemic and the virus itself, what it meant, the vaccination solution for curbing the spread of COVID-19. Of course, a lot of hesitancy surrounding that. I believe our last discussion that we had on another show revolved around that vaccination hesitancy that so many were experiencing and continue to experience at this time. How has that been for you, you know, as a man of science, dealing with that, you know, that hesitancy, that, you know, the naysayers as it relates to scientific research and maybe the disbelief of some of the scientific methods that you maybe have employed yourself and have maybe seen the utility of?
So the COVID-19 pandemic taught everyone a number of lessons, including especially us scientists and immunologists. We usually thought that when somebody that was the old textbooks. When you get infected or you got vaccinated against something, you have, you know, your immune system will recognize it. COVID threw all that nonsense out the window. I mean, I was exhausted literally during and after COVID. Doing research while trying to on all kinds of shows and all kinds of to try to educate the public. So I sent you a link earlier because of what COVID taught us. The American Association of Immunologists, and I'm on the membership committee, and they just created a new committee called the Public Communications Committee. They call it the American Association of Immunologists, but I approve people from all over the world every day, right? So it's a global group of immunologists to explain immunology. They created the public communications committee so that we can come up with ideas on how to avoid what happened with all this misinformation during the pandemic. I put it simply in a meeting to them, and I said it during the while I was on DBS or on Kyrie or on Q, that, and I said it yesterday on that United Nations World Health Day forum we had yesterday, that people tend to trust their mechanics more than they trust their physician mm-hmm. who takes care of their lives. Mm. We, most physicians and scientists, nurses, even most healthcare folks, we don't go into these things to make money. It's a drive that maybe it's a God-given drive to care. Somebody has to care for humanity. The physicians don't do the research. We do the research and give them the results. But you know, we've gone into a slide where we tend to believe things that are way out there, yet with the disbelief in things like vaccination, we have in real world consequences like measles outbreaks in the state of Florida. Measles was almost eradicated. This year, 2024, there are measles outbreaks in the state of Florida, okay? So, mm-hmm. and the ones who are getting the measles are 100% unvaccinated. Mm. Technology is moving so quickly. And we are going to talk about health equity, and all this ties in. Because we believe in the technology for certain things like Facebook and all those and Google. But what about those of us who are using that technology to understand the cancer that you have? Mm-hmm. See, it is a lot deeper than just the daily routine. We have to stay on top of what's going on in the technological field. And look, I understand, and I brought that up yesterday in the forum, we have a reason to not trust people. The Tuskegee experiments and other experiments have shown us that unethical scientists can use folks to do things to harm a population to benefit another. Mm-hmm. However, as I said, in the pandemic, yes, they have passed laws and all kinds of policies to avoid that happening again. But most importantly, and it is important for research, it is important for medical care, it's important for clinical care and health equity, is that we're sitting at the table when they're making those decisions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And not excluding ourselves from the discussion.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So one of the, I think we sit on the sidelines and we criticize, but as a scientist, I'll tell you what hurts me the most is that we put out calls to encourage people to participate in clinical research, in scientific studies. And a lot of us don't because we don't trust the system. But here's what happens when you don't participate. When 1,000 white people participate and 5 black people did and 500 Asians or other races did, the results are going to look more like what the white people need.
Yeah, they will be skewed.
So the policies are going to be skewed because of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We have to participate. We have to trust at some point and participate. It's like if you don't vote. There's certain things that we, certain responsibilities that we have as citizens, and one of them is participating in studies, legitimate studies, to better your community.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I hear that call, the call for participation, for non-withdrawal, I would maybe call it, that some people, are prone to do because of distrust, withdraw themselves from the scientific process or from engaging in medical research even, or medically prescribed practices. And so you're making a strong call there, Dr. Augustine, for thinking differently in that regard. And I hear that. I hope maybe somebody else who might have been on the fence about certain things has heard that call. Dr. Augustine, it was World Health Day. April 7th is the date. And of course, the theme for World Health Day was Health for All, a different theme every year. The World Health Organization, spearheading World Health Day observance, and Health for All was the theme. Interesting, because sometimes on a local, and I want to make this as local as possible, on a local front, we talk a lot about the inability for some to access adequate healthcare or optimal healthcare. We say, if people don't have the necessary resources, they can't access what those with better resources can, as it relates to healthcare here. We say that if you cannot afford to be flown overseas, then crap or smoke your pipe in many instances, you pui. That's the general sentiment. So when we talk about World Health Day and Health for All as a theme, I really wanted to get your engagement, Dr. Augustine, on, what does that mean for us as Dominicans pursuing a Health for All mentality, a Health for All situation I'm here in Dominica?
Okay. So that is such an excellent question, right? And I'll break it down, but let me take it from the very high level and bring it down to the that person by the White River in Dallas right now.
Mm.
So what if you talk about healthcare for all? Imagine that. Imagine health equity, which is what you're talking about. Let's just delve into it. And for those listening, I'm going to give credit where credit is due and show you the power of the technology that you have in your hands. What I'm telling you is the output from what I asked Microsoft Copilot, which is like ChatGPT and all those AI tools that are available to you if you ask it the right questions. And it can even prompt you to even ask it the right question if it sees you. Anyways, what is health equity? It refers to a state in which everyone, everywhere, every time has a fair and just opportunity to achieve their highest level of health. But to achieve this, though, We need to address several critical areas, several critical aspects that will make it work. Number one, and there are three big ones, historical and contemporary injustices. I talked about some of them, like we have to recognize and rectify the historical and ongoing injustices that contribute to health disparities among different populations. Number two, overcoming obstacles. All efforts should focus on overcoming economic, social, and other barriers to health and healthcare access. If your economy is not working right, if you don't have the infrastructure, you don't have the economy to support the infrastructure, I think we can go back to the old ways of making things work, where everybody works together. We can overcome even some of those things. Eliminating preventable disparities. Yesterday, one of the experts on the panel with me was talking about, she's an OBGYN. One of the preventable disparities is maternal and child health. Why women dying in pregnancy, women, you know, babies dying during childbirth. You know, we have to eliminate those things that we can. And most importantly, that one is not included in their list, but I think the responsibility lies with us. Every single one of us, I would encourage every single person listening to me. We save money for shoes, for holidays, for birthdays. You started the show with Jolly's Pharmacy, an ad from Jolly's Pharmacy. How many of us get annual or regular checkups from our doctors? Dental, vision, and all. Where you say it's expensive, but yes, but that is your life. And you need to know your numbers. I always tell people, know your numbers. What are your sugar numbers? What are your blood pressure numbers? What is normal? What is not normal? What makes you feel different? But it starts with you. You have to recognize and report things about yourself. Nobody knows you but yourself. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go into the social, a big part of our talk yesterday were the social determinants of health. Because where you live has a lot to do. You said it a little while ago. Mm-hmm. We. You said upui. So if you get sick, you're on your own. And so how do we address those social determinants? To promote health equity, we have to consider the social determinants of health, which are the conditions in which people live, learn, work, play, and worship. These determinants significantly impact health risks and outcomes. So here are some of the key areas we can explore on this, right? In the social and community context, this includes factors like, I don't think Dominica has a lot of factors like discrimination and racism. Like racism, maybe discrimination in other fields, in other ways. Maybe where you grew up, what village you grew up, whether you went to high school or not, you know, that kind of thing. Whether you contribute or not.
Yeah, class so, discrimination.
Yes, so we have to be careful about this. Healthcare access and youth, which is really important for us in Dominica, ensuring equitable access to healthcare services. the distance you have to travel, I think within 30 minutes you should be able to get to a hospital or some clinic or somewhere, mm-hmm. in case of an emergency. You know what I'm saying? So ensuring equitable access to healthcare services is crucial, and disparities can perpetuate health inequities. Neighborhood and physical environment. The quality of neighborhood, housing, and environmental factors directly influences health. And I'm going to give you an example because a lot of my colleagues, and there's a lot of research on that. Where you live, the environment, the air, the water quality, the air quality, the land quality, where you live has a lot to do with how you develop. Remember a couple years ago with Flint, Michigan?
Yeah, and the water pollution issue.
With lead.
Mm-hmm.
The prison population is high. And as a child, the lead affects your mental growth,
mm-hmm.
which causes antisocial behavior, which packs the jails, which stemmed from the water quality. So your environment has a lot to do with your health outcomes.
Yeah.
Workplace conditions. You must have safe, supportive work environments to overall well-being. People can't use you as a slave or just, you know, send you into dangerous situation without proper protection. Education. And that, to me, is one of the most important ones. They said we have education plays a vital role in health outcomes. A lot of people, and it hurt me dearly, a lot of people died, some of them my friends, because they didn't take the vaccine. I knew there was a direct link, because I had actually talked to them and I was afraid that they would contract the disease based on what I knew about their pre-existing conditions, because we were friends. But they wanted to wait and see. So then the last one, income and wealth gaps. Economic stability impacts health. Reducing income inequality, not just in Dominica, but globally. We are talking about those things right there in every organization in the federal government. We're talking about DEI. All those inequities, we're talking about them at the highest levels of all these organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I have some strategies for improvement. We'll talk about that.
So Dr. Gassini, you brought up some important factors. The social determinants of health, of course. I am keen every time we talk about the impact of education on health, because Carlton and I often, when we have this show, you know, it's a health education show, we talk directly, you know, about that correlation between education and the health success, so to speak, or optimizing health outcomes. So it's something that we discuss a lot on this platform, and you know, something that we want to continue to really hammer in, you know, the importance or the correlation of some of these social determinants that you've mentioned. The environment, we talk about that as well often, you know, the environment that you're exposed to and how that can impact your health outcomes. And oftentimes we we take for granted certain environmental conditions that we have in Dominica that might be superior to other environments. You know, when we talk about water quality and air quality, of which we can still boast that we have superior quality in, you know, so we like to kind of, you know, talk about health in a holistic way, both the areas that we need to advance in and improving, but also the areas that we can maximize, you know, because we have some good things as it relates to our health, our determinants of health here. Dr. Gassin, I want to open up the lines a bit for our listeners to interact. Let me just let our listeners know what are the numbers that they can call in on. So 449-3095, 449-3096, 449-3097, 616-4257. Of course, if you call in from overseas, feel free to reach us on the overseas line, which is 305-432-9624. And I am here this morning, not in person. He's not here in person, but Dr. Swinburne Augustin is joining me here this morning. And we're speaking about health, health for all, health equity. And we're going to go into a bit of immunology and the immune system in just a bit. But Dr. Augustin is here and the lines are open if people want to engage with him on some of what he has brought forth thus far on the show this morning. But Dr. Augustin, as we, you know, we continue the discussion about health, and we continue our discussion here this morning, I really wanted to get into the immune aspect, the immune system aspect of your work, a system that a lot of people don't understand or don't see or don't think of as much until they get sick, you know, until we talk about, you know, what could my immune system have prevented, or what could my immune system have you know, avoided me from suffering from. So I wanted to delve into this a little bit. You as an immunologist, why that area before we even go into the system, why did you choose that area?
I chose that area because of the professions I'd been in.
Okay.
Being a policeman in Dominica and a member of the SSU, we were charged with guarding and protecting the Prime Minister and the country. As a member of the U.S. Army, the U.S. military, we charged with defending the Constitution and defending the country. And I was trained in both. There is only one system. Our bodies and the world around us is, if you look at it, think about it well, is structured around our bodies, around us. So inside of us, we need an army, we need a military to protect us from all the things that can affect us.
Mm-hmm.
That's the immune system.
Ah, so I see your thinking.
It's one of the most complex, because from your tears to your poop to your pee, every part of your body, the immune system. Remember, the skin is the biggest part of the immune system, right? The primary barrier that keeps anything out of the tender and important work that's going on below the skin. And the immune system is right there at every entrance to your body and every exit to make sure that things don't come in that are not supposed to be there. every cell of your body. They work in tandem. They talk to each other. It's a communication system that is, when I look at it, what I'll tell you what it reminds me of, when you see the constellations, a picture of the constellations and how they connected, it's how we connect. You have, you know, all the different systems and organs, but that the overall protector of all them is the immune system.
Dr. Augustine, sometimes we say our immune system is weak, or if we get in a very frequent cold or flu, we tell each other, you need to strengthen your immune system, you need to boost up that army that you just referred to, that immune system. In reality, can people have a weak immune system, and what can lead to that? What are some of the things that can lead to that, you know, concept of a weak immune system, that army that we want to have protecting us?
Okay, so in one of my studies, and I briefly talk about it because it hasn't been published, but from year, and that's why mothers are so, so important. The first year of life, the baby's immune system is undeveloped. They're getting their protection from the mother's breast milk.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that, man. Think about the consequences for kids who are not breastfed. So they breastfed, and the antibodies to everything that mother had ever been exposed to are coming through that breast milk to protect that child throughout their first year of life, at least. That avoids a lot of complications, because any infection when you don't have a functioning immune system is bad. Some of this may be genetic. Some people are born like that. That there's a malfunction of the immune system where the immune system itself is attacking itself. It's attacking its own body. It's like you have guards outside your house to protect you, and they start shooting at you.
Mm-hmm.
But you're paying them to protect you. So it turns inward and start attacking itself, like lupus. So those are that you have these kinds of immunological problems. Genetic. Then you have instances where, say, you need a transplant, or you have a disease process where we have to suppress the immune system so that it doesn't flare up and destroy that part we try, that graft we're trying to do, or that part we're trying to implant, that the body don't start attacking it, so we suppress it so that it doesn't attack. But then, you see, there's a conundrum, because then it leaves you vulnerable and susceptible when you suppress the immune system because you want something to work, but then it leaves you open.
So
you have to be, yes, that's kind of people you put on something in nursing. It's called neutropenic isolation.
Okay.
So that's that. So there are those immune issues. But the immune system now, the importance of the immune system now is being recognized. If you look at most of the medications that you see on TV being advertised, look at the names, and on the end of the names, in the long names would be three letters, M-A-B. M-A-B. What that is monoclonal antibodies.
Okay.
They're using the immune system to target things like cancer by making the immune system recognize our infected cells as foreign. So destroy them. And if we can get rid of radiation and chemotherapy by causing the immune system to attack the cancerous cells, then we can, you see the level of where we're going, mm-hmm. where the way we're thinking. And that's why it's so important for us, because we're moving into a realm of personalized medicine. Personalized meaning they're going to use your DNA, they're going to use your DNA and your RNA to target things that are wrong in your body, like if you had sickle cell or cystic fibrosis. But if you don't participate, and the results look what it would look like for white people and black people don't, then the five black people, the results are not representative. So what works for those white people may not be what works for us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So.
Okay. So Dr. Kassin, I want to get into an aspect of the immune system that, you know, often is not understood, and that is when it, you know, you spoke about when it starts to attack the body, and you know that is in relation to autoimmune diseases. But one area that, you know, is often not well understood is what is going on in the immune system when it is triggered by things that are not harmful. For instance, people may eat shrimp and it may cause an extreme reaction in them, and they say, you know, I'm allergic to shrimp, I'm allergic to seafood, I'm allergic to, you know, whatever it may be. And of course, that is a malfunction of the immune system. What is going on when those things happen to somebody? Somebody eats something, somebody touches something, and their body starts to go into overdrive. What's happening there?
Shock. They go into anaphylactic shock. So what happens is that the body gets sensitized. We have a set of cells. They have some mast cells, and they're a bunch of cells of the immune system. And the ones, the response for allergies and stuff like that, like the mast cells, they're triggered by things like pollen, dust, and some components. And they sensitize, so to break it down simply, they get all excited and start sending signals through cytokines and the chemokines to the bigger boys to bring out the bigger guns.
Mm-hmm.
And they think, okay, well, we got this information, so we just gonna start firing. And you start to get bad outcomes because, you know, it's sensitized. Like peanut butter, like, mm-hmm. or nuts. Some people eat nuts or just touching certain plants. Because we have those immune cells everywhere, and they just, if the signals that they get across, you know, sometimes you get a call, it's either spam or, you know, that, if the signals are crossed,
yeah, the wires are crossed.
then it starts to act in weird ways. One of the things that happened during COVID, it touched me pretty much, and I even delved into it a lot because my favorite uncle died like that, right at the beginning of COVID in New York. COVID caused the immune system, part of the immune system, the cytokines, the proteins that are responsible for signaling and movement throughout the immune system, it caused them to go into overdrive and start attacking the kidneys and shutting down the kidneys and the liver and even parts of the brain. Because the where COVID was binding on the receptor on our cells, it's a very it's an HP receptor, right? It's that same A3 that they give people high blood pressure medication to tamp down. That's where COVID was finding the same receptor. So while you may be stopping one function, you may be causing an unintended consequence. But that's the immune system works that way. It's it gets signals, and when it gets the signals, it acts. And if that signal is not right, then it will cause damage.
Okay. So Dr. Augustine, is there any reason why one person might be, you know, experiencing so many allergies, or somebody might, you know, find themselves having so many different allergies, and another person is allergic to nothing? What causes that type of disparity between human beings and you know, how they react to different things, like you know, the common things that we mentioned, the seafood, the peanut butter, the so on. What causes those differences?
Some of them are genetic, but a lot of them are environmental.
Okay.
A lot, yes, your environmental exposures early in life. People in third world countries usually tend to have stronger immune systems because they've been exposed to all kind of things.
To a lot.
Yes, things that would kill us. And even when I was home and I went to the White River, I was very careful this time to try not to swallow any of the water. But then I was holding a drink in my hand in the water, and I still got the effects. This time, though, it was only for one day, 2 days.
Mm.
But all immune, if I were living in Dominican all the time and recreating there all the time, I wouldn't have any problem. Just like I noticed with the studies that we did in Puerto Rico or in Iowa, we noticed that the people who lived in that area didn't really display symptoms. And they were not getting sick because they were immune protected. Every time they went into the water or they recreated where they were, it was like getting a booster shot of a vaccine.
Ah.
It's exactly the same thing. So you all won't get sick, but if I come and try to do the exact same thing you all do, I will have a miserable time.
Hmm. Interesting.
Montezuma's revenge, they call it. But it's because the immune system, my immune system, after years of living in Dominica, the body doesn't like to be in overdrive. So things that are not necessary against organisms that I won't see here is going to downgrade those things.
Okay.
You will still have the memory, but you will be sick for a few days before it can activate itself again to the level it was when I left.
Mm. How do people find out what they are allergic to? What can you know, you have a child, you maybe suspect that there are some reactions occurring to something that you're not sure. How do you check that out?
The allergists have they have these panels they can do on your skin.
Okay.
They can tap different things, and your immune system will react. It will tell you what are reactive and what are not. But now, the saliva test that I developed, I'm hoping that it will be, and I'm thinking of moving it in that direction. With a drop of saliva, imagine with me that with a drop of saliva, and maybe I shouldn't be saying that, I might be giving people my idea. I can tell exactly what, within 4 hours or less, tell exactly which organism is making you sick.
Mm.
And tell you a panel of all the organisms you have antibodies in your system against.
Okay.
And it is capable of doing that.
Okay. Do you feel like we should preemptively do a test like that? Meaning you, and even for the allergy test as well, you haven't experienced any allergic reaction as yet, but you're just curious and you do the test. Is that going into overdrive? Or do you think it's something that's advisable? You know, people just get themselves checked out. What am I allergic to?
Well, if that is something that they're concerned about, let's say, okay. Excuse me, it is rampant in your family.
Okay.
If it's rampant in your family and you're worried and you think that there may be something genetic going on, because I did my DNA. I did my genome testing so that I could know if I had something that I could give my kids.
Okay.
But on a regular basis, though, not it wouldn't be necessary because I think it would be an extra expense.
Okay.
On people that already don't have much. Mm-hmm. So, but people who can afford, yes, by all means. They'd probably put that panel on you, and then now you might find that you may be sensitive to something but not allergic to it.
Mm-hmm.
The different steps and different levels. You it may cause, because if you are allergic to something, you're going to get hives, you're going to break out in rashes, and you go into almost choke and can't breathe.
Okay.
And that can lead, anaphylactic shock can lead to death. But if
very
it's
severe,
you may get some...
A very severe reaction.
Yes, that's taking it to the extreme. But even then, you have an epinephrine pen. People who are diagnosed, like we have had anaphylactic shock, they walk around with an EpiPen.
Mm-hmm.
That they just stab into their thigh, and if they do it early enough, then it takes away that effect. They get back to normal real fast, but they still have to go get help to make sure that everything is okay.
It's okay, so still seek medical attention.
Yes.
after you've used your EpiPen.
Use the EpiPen.
Okay,
because you want to know, what happened, because you're not thinking about things that are going on inside your body while the episode is going. You're just thinking of trying to save yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But other systems are being messed up or are being activated. So you need to go check and make sure that everything's okay.
Dr. Augustine, last question on this particular thing. Apart from, you being exposed to your allergen and having a reaction and using the EpiPen to essentially stave off the severity of the reaction, is there anything that people take to reduce the possibility of an allergic reaction? Is there preemptively cut off the possibility of a reaction? I'm not sure, so I'm just asking if there is any medical, if there's any pharmaceutical, any drug that people take, just like how people talk about boosting the immune system by taking certain immune, yes, right? Immune boosters. Is there anything that people take for preventing allergies?
Well,
that you've heard of?
A lot of, it's tech, I'm advertising brand.
No.
But really and truly, you really don't know what is going to do that. And
okay.
It may be something you were eating or coming in contact with all your life.
Right.
And all of a sudden, something with that very same thing you've been doing, it triggers something. It's sometimes it's just unpredictable.
Yeah, I think that's the scary part. I think that's the scary part for most people, that, you could have been eating something, all the time, or you could have been, engaging in some sort of something all the time, and then all of a sudden it affects you in that
yes.
way. Yeah, I know of people,
exactly.
I know of people, for instance, who, and this one is very strange, any canned food triggers an allergic reaction in the individual. I don't know if it's the preservatives being used, you know, in those cans. Yes.
One of the ingredients.
Yes, and you know, I have known of people, for instance, who would have said, you know, all their life they're eating their, when it's independent season, their crab and whatever, and then all of a sudden they start to develop, you know, sensitivity or allergic reactions to the crab. So I've also experienced that, or I've also heard of that. So it's I think it's a scary concept for a lot of people that, you know, one day your immune system can just choose to act up when it's faced with something that you maybe have been faced with before, you know.
But to my own personal life, I think the way that I live with confidence that I'm okay. And although we don't know from minute to minute, I can get off this show with you and just be dead. We don't know that. However, we have control of what we do with our lives. Staying active. What we put into our bodies. When I talk to especially young folks, our bodies are so amazing. Our cars, we take better care of our cars because at every 3,000 miles, you go and get it serviced, no matter what. I gotta get oil changed and tires rode in. And you 36 years have never had a physical, you don't know what their engine inside are you doing. Those numbers and those tests can tell you if this year we see these numbers looking that way, and next year they start going up, it alerts somebody. It is something is not right. Let me see what is causing that. But if I have nothing to compare it with, then so I would just really just encourage people to think about themselves. On your car, you have two fluids that really drive your car. Your oil to lubricate the joints so that it moves smoothly. And the gas to power it up. What are our fuels? What are our fluids? Water. And our oil. Water is our oil to lubricate our joints. That's why when you run or do physical activity, they tell you don't sit down before lactic acid builds up in your joints and you start to cramp. Water lubricates, right? And what you eat is your fuel, your energy. If you are taking in more calories than you expend, you go into gain weight. And that is not to say anything about anybody. It's just a scientific fact. If you taking less, you're going to be mad. If you burn more calories than you take in, you're going to be mad. And the other way around. So It's we have to start thinking about ourselves, and we grew up thinking, let's not be conceited and think of ourselves. You have to think of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yourself first when it comes to your health,
your
well-being.
True. Dr. Augustine, one of our listeners is asking, as we were on the topic of allergic reactions, about reactions to bites, insect bites, and the differences that might occur. The person is asking, the listener is asking about, for instance, mosquitoes and biting midges, which we've had quite an issue with locally in the past year or so. You know, what about those things, the allergic reactions to those things? Is what we experience an allergic reaction if we have excessive, maybe itching of those bites?
Just a sensitivity. When you say allergic, you're going to start triggering the closing of your bronchi.
Okay.
It is an allergic reaction is a more systemic reaction.
Full body reaction, okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's going to shut down.
Mm-hmm.
the vibe, that's from just a localized, because remember they are under your their keratinocytes and other immune cells right under your skin, right in the midst of the dead skin. They're immune cells that will tell if you come exposed to something, and they react themselves. So they can react and send a signal. Now, our bodies are so amazing that they're almost like immune systems at different parts of your body, so that it can react fast. Now, you see, when you go to the doctor, they check up here. You have glands here. So part of the lymphatic system where, you know, you have the circulatory system and the lymphatic system where all these immune agents going through. Coming through your mouth and going through all throughout your body. Under your arms, you get swelling there, sometimes the groin, so that they can quickly act close to where, if you have a problem up here, I don't want immune cells coming from my feet. See what I'm saying? I want it coming from close, so that they can attack fast.
What is up? Okay.
Yeah. See, at different parts of your body, so that you can quickly activate and attack.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So more of a, as it relates to the bites, more of a localized reaction or sensitivity than actually something that's an allergic reaction. Okay. All right.
But some people are like bee stings. Some people,
yes.
But those people know. The people who are allergic, once they've had an episode, they will know, because they will have an EpiPen on them if they want to live their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Without problems.
But something like a bee sting allergy, I mean, you will only figure that out after being stung by a bee, and possibly possibly the reaction might be so severe that might be the end for you. So yeah, the bee sting allergy, I think that is also very frightening. I'm sure we've seen movies. There was this one that was very popular, I can't remember the name, but where a young boy got stung by a bee and died. One of those movies I grew up looking at, and you know, you get the feeling that, you know, you might just encounter the wrong thing one day, and that will be it. Yeah. That will be it. So
that's true.
Yeah.
That's
so yeah. So it's a scary thought. But Dr. Augustine, it is 11:30 here, and we have come to the end of the show. Of course, Health Vibes this morning, we focused on World Health Day and the whole concept of health for all. And Dr. Augustine, of course, as the immunologist that you are, took us through some of the aspects of the immune system and the importance of that. I thank you so much for joining me this morning. I'll just give you an opportunity to say some last words, some closing words as we wrap up the show this morning. But I do, of course, want to thank you for taking the time to join us here this morning on Health Vibes.
All right. Thank you very much for inviting me to the show. And it was a real pleasure. I want all the Dominican people to know that, you know what, even at the highest levels of organizations, we are thinking about health equity, so that the person in Dallas, when I bring up those suggestions at those meetings, I'm actually thinking about how it helps a person in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
So that keeps me grounded and keeps me from forgetting that while we're making decisions up here, the people that it affects, that they really are going to benefit by those policies. And I'm on a mission to try to build trust again in the scientific and medical communities, because it is very dangerous to have mechanics telling you how to take care of your heart. I wouldn't dare tell a mechanic how to fix my car. I don't know. But when it comes to your health, you should get the best advice there is. And the information is possibly in front of us. And yes, there are people who make a living out of being contrarian and spreading misinformation, because that's what they believe. That's their opinion. I don't care about opinions. We go by scientific fact. The rigor. I have two papers, and I want to say that just quickly, that I have two papers that are getting ready to get published. The process to even get the research design approved before you could do one thing in the lab, it is so rigorous. To even writing the papers and getting them published, it is not an easy task, and it's not fake news. So, you know, while the fishermen are fishing and the farmers are farming, the nurses doing their thing, the physicians, the scientists doing their thing, and we all have to trust each other. And with that, I say good afternoon. It was a wonderful morning.
Yes, morning here in Dominica. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Augustine. So that brings us to the end of course, another episode of Health Vibes. To all our listeners, of course, who tuned in this morning and who joined via the Facebook page of Q95FM, thank you for joining us. We will, God willing, be on next week with another episode of Health Vibes, of course, where we say we bring health education to you, but also try to incorporate some vibes in there. Here on Health Vibes, it is a pleasure as usual being in studio and being on the program. I just want to remind our listeners, I started off with it, I will end with it, that the 5K run is coming up April 27th, the Jolly's National Wellness Health 5K run on April 27th, and the registration is open, has been open, so make sure that you get yourself counted. And if you're not registered, or if you're not in Dominica and you cannot do the run in person, but you want to contribute to the effort, of course, in support of diabetes and the sickle cell anemia, feel free to make a donation towards this endeavor, and you can do so through contacting Jolly's Pharmacy, contacting Mr. Lando at Jolly's Pharmacy, and he will assist with that. So I'm signing off here, of course, Jolly's Health Vibes. Jolly's always leading the way in healthcare, and it was a pleasure to bring this to you this morning here on Q95 FM Radio. Signing out and wishing everyone a very good day and rest of the week.
Every Wednesday. Who say health cannot have vibes? Well, Jolly's Pharmacy is proving you otherwise. With Health Vibes. Every Wednesday morning on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Health Vibes. Education, information, and a bit of humor. And not forgetting lots of vibes. Hosted by Carlton Lando with co-hosts Jacinta Fagan-Defo and Trudy Kristen. Jolly's Pharmacy is bringing health and vibes together every Wednesday. So be sure to tune in. Every Wednesday on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.